This is a Collider.com audio interview.
I read somewhere that the very first thing you ever did acting-wise was playing a werewolf in school.
I guess
about the start of your career.
This was 12 years ago in a school play.
Really
draw from it. I had a friend's father in the audience of the school operetta as the wolf in Little Red Riding Hood. And from that, got an audition for a series, landed the series, and have been doing it ever since. So, you know, it was definitely meant to be, I guess. I mean, there's nothing really other than this that I'd rather be doing, so I definitely got blessed in that sense.
When you read the script for Skinwalkers for the first time, what was your reaction when you were going through the pages and seeing what you had to do and what was going on?
I literally thought I had dreamt this one into existence, because it's a really childhood dream to be not only working on a Stan Winston project, but having guns, being a werewolf, and having all this great action to do. I mean, it was an absolute dream come true.
Yeah. Anything about it surprised you once you got on the set and you were actually filming?
Stuff definitely happens. Getting up into Creemore, Ontario, which, I mean, I have friends that come from there, and shutting down the main street of a small town and just gunfire for an entire week is, wow, okay, so this is what this is going to be like. And from then on, it was just, you know, one great surprise after another.
You have a lot of people in the town hanging out there watching you guys film.
Oh, the locals loved it. We'd be back at base camp and hear Jason's Desert Eagles. They sound like cannons. You could hear them for miles. Just so I'm sure they were pretty happy to see us go once we were done. But I mean, they were all very, very much welcoming and happy to have us there. Because I mean, how often do you have a big film like this in a small town? So
what's the town again?
Creemore, Ontario. They have a little brewery there too, so there was, you know, there's perks.
So talk about the late nights while filming.
The late nights while filming. Well, I mean, you can only stay up so late when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning beforehand. So there weren't that many late nights.
How about the late afternoons?
Ooh, the late afternoons. Let's get into that. You know, we as a group. I mean, what a great cast to be working with. I mean, after work, if you got time and you got the energy, we'd go out, we'd have a meal, and you sit down and you talk about how everyone is so excited to be a part of the same thing. If that's the case, I mean, we don't have to worry about egos, we don't have to worry about, you know, all the other things that sometimes you do on sets. And this one was easy right from the get-go.
How do you go about forming your bonds with each other? Especially since you're playing a pack and you're supposed to be kind of a family, I'm the one that...
Well, I got a little flack for that, because we would go out, and it would be me, Jason, and Kim Coates. So, you know, we're sitting around having dinner, and I'm with the bad werewolves. But outside of that, it was pretty easy, because right from the first read-through, you have Elias, who is there 100% and really giving you everything he has, whether it's his close-up or not, and being able to really work through all of the moments before we get there on set is, I don't know, you're just there, you're 100%, and you're ready for anything. So it was really easy.
Akasha didn't go and hang out with you as well?
Well, you know, everybody has their moment. I mean, we all got together, absolutely, and, you know, we're a cast, we're out in the middle of nowhere, we're going to gravitate to spending time together, but, you know, we all have other commitments and things to do, and some of us have to go to the gym and try and, you know, get ready for the next day's filming, but it was a very good group feeling.
What was the challenge for you?
Not bragging about it too much, because, I mean, you're working with a legend, you're working on something that is just so close to your heart, and really, I mean, reading the script for the first time, I'm looking through it, and it felt as if I had already read it, so I knew that this was something that was going to be something that I needed to be a part of. So there was really, as far as challenges, not so much. I mean, we had to deal with some heat, because we're shooting, you know, at the end of summer, and it's hot, and you're wearing the prosthetics, and, you know, but when you're wearing great prosthetics and you're happy about what you're doing, there's no downsides.
Just keeping your mouth shut,
yeah, exactly.
So you went from working with one legend to another legend, and I'm assuming you're going to know what project I'm talking about, so let's talk about it.
All right, Diary of the Dead. Working with George Romero for the second time was a very natural thing to do. I mean, we had created a bond with Land of the Dead, and when this project came up, he wanted to be able to start right from the get-go with people he could trust. And with George, you can have an open communication, and he knows, just as he's setting up the shots, what he needs to get from you. He explains it. Everything's an open book with him. So, I mean, there's no hesitation as an actor, because you can totally trust him in what his vision is.
How has the tone changed from Land of the Dead to this one?
Well, this one was independent. So this was solely produced by George and Peter, and they and Art Fire. Don't quote me on that one. But I mean, having him be able to have complete control of his artistic vision. I mean, Night of the Living Dead, there's a lot of things that happened with that were beyond his control. This is his right from the very start of it, and he started the script as soon as he was done working on Land of the Dead. So he had, you know, a period of like 2 years to be able to work out and know what he wanted, and he got it.
Did you do this after Skinwalkers?
Diary of the Dead, yes. We filmed this past fall.
And when is it coming out?
We are headlining Midnight Madness at the Toronto Film Festival, September 8th, I believe. And we have our European distributors all lined up, but I think we're shopping for our North American one at Toronto. So
this is traditional Romero zombie stuff, though. I mean, are we going to see something new? I mean, we haven't seen previous zombie films from him.
Well, I think you're definitely going to be surprised on the style of the film. I mean, we're breaking barriers and walls that you don't necessarily... You won't see in other films. I mean, people make the comparison between the Blair Witch Project and, let's be honest, a lot of the time, there was a lot of people who got a little queasy watching that with the unnatural movements of the camera. And when we have that natural feel of, you know, somebody is holding that camera, that's the whole essence of the film, talking about this electronic eye that is everywhere. So it has that natural feel to it.
Can you tell us what this film is about and how does it relate? Because I don't know anything about this project. So can you tell us what it's about and how it relates to the other films?
Well, we're taking it's a group of film students, and we start from the initial outbreak of zombies. We're actually shooting a mummy movie at the time on location, and we hear about this outbreak, so we go back, and it's really taking it from the start and having to deal with the reality of it, and then being submerged into that world and going forward and accepting it as reality. So we just follow the stories of this group of filmmakers.
Can you talk about the differences between working, say, with Stan Winston versus working with guys like
him? Working with the guys that
can't be.
We have, because we shot both movies in Toronto, I mean, I worked with a lot of the same prosthetic guys, so it's, that sort of connection is definitely helpful when you're sitting in prosthetics for, you know, far too long. But it was, I like to think every experience is a new one, and being able to be there 100% and enjoying it, I don't know, what more can you ask for?
George has a lot of fans, and did any of them possibly show up to do any cameos in the new one?
We had some set visitors who had traveled a long ways, and, you know, there are just some really hardcore fans out there, and, you know, if you have a following like that, what more can you ask for? These people are dedicated.
Are you a big fan of the genre? As well. You watch horror films, if you never see another one again, you're happy?
No, absolutely. I mean, to be able to work in this genre, and every day is a new experience. I'm happy to be doing it. Frankly, you know, the dramatic pieces are great, but they don't have the same sort of feel and the same same sort of energy that you have on a horror flick. When you're not on set and you're not doing your takes, you're back in the special effects trailer seeing, you know, what's on the table for tomorrow. So it's always something new and exciting, and it was a blessing.
So besides the project we've already discussed, what else do we have on the horizon?
On the horizon, well, there's...
Or perhaps what you filmed and we haven't talked about.
Let's see, we have Stir of Echoes 2 with Rob Lowe coming out. I'm not sure what the release date of that is.
Debuting on the Sci-Fi Channel or something?
Is it?
I thought I saw a trailer or something coming out.
You know more about it than me. We shot that last summer, and that's just another project that I still haven't seen the final product of. So
that's the sequel to the original.
Right. And it follows the same premise, but it's not really tied into the original story. So,
and besides that?
Twist. Besides that, going to be producing a horror film this fall, and that's a whole different side of it. Being able to be a part of the creative process on that side of the camera is kind of new and very exciting for me. So
I'm getting tips from Stan and George on...
I mean, how can you not be around these legends and sort of pick up on certain different techniques? I mean, they each have this certain essence about them, and I think that I was blessed enough to have that rub off on me and really get a feel for where the differences are between, you know, legends and how they see things. So it gives me the chance to kind of put something together of my own blend of what I've learned so far.
What's the horror film you're producing?
Right now it's called Slice, but that title could change.
Slasher movie, I take it?
It is, you know. I think it's... There's no reason why not. You can wait around as an actor to have these ideal parts come up, or you can create them on your own. And this is the first time I'm taking this step, and I don't know, I'm really excited about it.
So you're going to
produce
these
yourself to acting?
What's that?
You're producing these to acting yourself?
Yeah, so it's I don't know, it's a new step, but it's exciting.
What do you think the future of the genre is?
I think the truth of the matter is we've all seen the gore. I mean, we've all seen the blood, we've all seen the CGI. What more can we show that we already haven't shown? And the audience, I don't know if anybody else agrees with me, but I think the audience is starting to understand, okay, well, this is what it's going to be, and it's no longer, it doesn't have the same appeal. So I see a twist in it going back to, instead of showing the gore, allude to it and leave it up to the audience.
Yeah,
like
one kill per film or something.
You know? And we can do anything with CGI now, and it's just a matter of saying, you know what, do we have to show it, or can we leave it up to the imagination?
So the film you're producing is not going to be the traditional slasher movie. It's not going to be one sex act and one minute you're killing every 8 minutes.
No.
Okay.
It'll be a little different.
Can you tell me one cool thing about George? A fan.
Oh, one cool... I mean, try and pick one. You expect somebody with that sort of a background to be a bit unique, be a bit different, but he is about the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, and I don't know, he feels like family. So something the fans. That's a really good question, though. So what to pick? I'm not sure. I don't know. When he gets in there and he gets in his zone, he's there from the minute he walks in to the minute he leaves. His entire world consists of what's on the monitor. So, I don't know. You don't really get a chance to see any of these, you know, maybe weird little quirks, because he is so immersed in what he's working on that he's there and let the magic happen.